Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Liberty and the Law, the podcast series that examines the critical elements of a strong legal defense in criminal cases. Join respected attorney James Doerr for this lively discussion on the rights of criminal defendants and the important role defense attorneys play in our legal system.
You know, as we search for topics to cover on Liberty and the Law each month, we keep our eyes and ears focused on recent news stories dealing with criminal law, maybe the court systems and constitutional challenges. Today we'll use recent headlines in one area to launch a discussion on a broader area of criminal defense. Hi everyone, this is Jim Mitchell, and it's my pleasure to be back with you for another episode of this podcast. As always, I'll be joined by Lavelle Law criminal defense attorney James Doerr. James relies on his more than two decades of experience as an attorney to share with us insights on some of these current stories in the area, and we've got a good one today. So, James, good afternoon. This is going to be interesting.
Hey, thank you, Jim. Good afternoon. And, yeah, I agree. This is an interesting – it's new territory, so we get to explore something new for both of us here.
Well, let's let everyone else in on it. Now, there's been a lot of news here in Illinois in recent weeks as the state legislature recently – produced a bill that would make the possession of small amounts of marijuana legal. So we'll use that as our starting point for today. And, you know, I wonder as possession becomes legal, I think the law, you can correct me here, the law indicates that if people have a record for possession may now have the possibility of having kind of that record cleared.
Well, yeah, that's one of the interesting aspects of this is not only does it legalize usage going forward, but it addresses people who have convictions on their record for possessions of small amounts of cannabis in the past and allows a remedy for those people in that they are entitled to an expungement according to the act that was passed.
And that was the term we're going to focus on today, and this bill allows us to do it in great detail and with some specifics. But when you say expungement, from a legal term, what exactly does that mean?
Okay. Expunge means to physically destroy the records or return them to the petitioner. So they'll either, the police department, their file that they have, they either destroy it or they return it to the petitioner. And that could include mugshots and fingerprints and whatever other reports that they have. And the petitioner's name is removed from the official record. It's actually ordered to be obliterated from the official record. So the name is deleted from circuit clerk's computer terminals, from any kind of information that you can look up. And then the court file itself is actually impounded. So it really limits how you can get it information once an expungement has been ordered by a judge, or in this case, the remedy is being mandated by law to address past convictions.
And this is going to be no small task when you look at this, the sheer volume of cases that have involved marijuana possession over the, you know, however many years here in Illinois. This isn't going to be flipping the light switch to just make all this happen now, is it?
Well, that's what's fun about this, because there's so many of these cases out there, but they don't, you know, they just kind of, it's all at one time, because they are mandating by this act. They are saying the state police and the other police and agencies out there, they shall automatically expunge. That's the language. So that's mm-hmm. very explicit mandatory language on the part of the legislature. It says all criminal history records of an arrest. So small amounts of cannabis, which they've said is, you know, 30 grams or less, or less than 30 grams, it's going to be automatically expunged. And it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out, because like you said, Jim, there's a lot of numbers we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm. And the word automatically, which I know you latched onto there, and I don't want to, you know, dive too deep into the various county court systems or other jurisdictions around here, but not everything is automated to that extent that this can just be done automatically as the bill calls for. Is that right?
It's not quite the hitting the delete button that you would imagine, you know, because some courts, some circuit courts are slower to computerize all of their records. Some of these records are old, so as these clerks' offices are modernizing, they're going the most recent data first and mm-hmm. then going back in time. So, you know, it's a funny thing about this law, or an interesting thing about this law, Jim, is they do have some timing provisions on this automatic expungement. So the state, you know, the police departments are given, you know, depending on the age of the case, they're giving more time. So the older cases are giving a little more time to address than the most recent cases. So they have kind of a three-tiered system, and when they should be expunged by. So on this first category, the most recent ones, it would be 2013 or sooner. They have until 2021 to automatically expunge those records. So you can see there's some wait period, even on the first ones that are on this list to be expunged, according to the mandate here. Still gives them a little bit of time, which is reasonable. And there's a provision here also, Jim, that can help our clients in that it doesn't take away rights that petitioners they had prior to this law. So the expungement statute's on the book. If we could file one, say somebody had received a sentence for court supervision on a previous, which would have been eligible for expungement, we could still go ahead and file that. So we don't have to wait for this automatic. But it is interesting that on top of our individual rights that you would have had, they're expanding this. And so it's something to keep in mind for our listeners that, you know, they shouldn't necessarily wait to see if this is automatically done. They may want to look on their own and verify, and there's a methodology built into this statute as well for checking on that. But they want to maybe take initiative themselves to file the petition if they don't want to wait that long.
So let's take a little broader view, because you mentioned the petition process. And aside from this particular bill's calling for an automatic expungement, take us through the scenario for just, you know, average person who may have something on their record. What does trying to get something expunged entail in terms of what they might have to do to work through the process?
Sure. Well, as you can imagine, there's statutes involved that we have to comply with that outline the procedures and kind of the standards that the judges will follow. So first, the statutes, they determine what's eligible for an expungement. So certain things would be generally eligible. Things that are cases that have not been had convictions entered, so either cases that were dismissed or deferred prosecutions, which we discussed before, or court supervision. Things like that are not convictions, and they would be eligible for expungement at the misdemeanor level. Timing can be different depending on the case.
Yeah.
But so the mechanism is you file a petition to expunge in the circuit court. Once that petition gets filed, the state's attorney's office, the Illinois State Police, and any other arresting agency would have a right to review our petition and file an objection with the circuit court if they so desire. And they have 60 days to go ahead and file that objection.
And right. I want to kind of walk through that a little bit, but just let me touch base with everyone here that we're talking to Attorney James Doerr of Lavelle Law, and we're looking at not only the new law here in Illinois, dealing with marijuana possession, but taking a broader look at expungement. And great conversations whenever James is here. And we've been doing Liberty and the Law for, going on 3 years now. Each month we cover a different legal concept and a specific case, perhaps from a court system. And the great thing is all of these discussions are archived. You can find them at lavellelaw.com. If you go to James' profile page, they will all be there, as well as Blog Talk Radio. Even on iTunes, you can download them. So when you're talking about this, and I want to get back to the process, but maybe I overlooked it at the beginning. Tell me why someone would want to go through this. Naturally, you don't want a criminal record, but there are probably very specific instances in which this might make a difference to someone to go through the expungement process. And what might those conditions be?
All right. And the reason that it allows, the legislature allows this, it allows people to have a clean start. Excuse me. It's you know, consistent with the concept of forgiveness. So somebody has you know, paid their debt, whatever it is, for the offense that they committed. This legislature has determined that small offenses and you know, minor offenses should not hold people back in employment and just other things. Like there's professional certifications that this can hold back. But employment would be one of the biggest ones. School. Admission to a university, sometimes a conviction or a criminal arrest can be held against an applicant there. And sometimes people just do not want to have a criminal record. They want that the feeling of having a criminal free record there.
Mm-hmm.
So some people, it's just a matter of, I don't want this conviction out there, or I don't want this record of existing. So usually it comes down to employment or school or some of the most common. But I've seen people who just did not want the offense on their record. And sometimes people have actually been proven to be innocent, which is another reason you'd want this available. So you don't have a record out there on somebody having a criminal record, but they've been subsequently found innocent of a charge.
Yeah, and there's been certainly a number of cases like that in this area as well. So when you're talking about the process, and you mentioned filing the petition, state agencies,
right,
different law enforcement groups have 60 days. What happens if nobody objects? What happens next?
Right. Well, if there's no objection, many times the judge will review the petition. If it seems like it's in order and there's no objection on file and the judge has no objection, the judge has the discretion to just grant the order, sign the order, and make sure the clerk's office sends that to the petitioner. So sometimes these can be granted by mail. But if there's an objection on file by the state's attorney or one of the police agencies, or if the judge just simply wants to look somebody in the eye before they sign that order, they'll set a court date where we have a hearing, and a judge would do an inquiry into whether somebody is a good candidate for expungement or not.
And so if one of those law enforcement agencies does raise an objection, that's not an immediate red light. It then warrants a hearing in which everyone would have to kind of present their case on this.
Right, right. And at that point, the petitioner, we have the burden going forward. And this is not, normally expungements are not automatic. So that's why some of that language in the new act is different, because it's just shelved. It's automatic. Where here, the judges still retain that discretion on whether or not to grant the petition. So they will do an inquiry. They will place a petitioner under oath and ask several questions, because they have to determine whether or not the petitioner's interest in being free from that criminal record outweighs society's interest, the public's interest, in being warned and having that record maintained. So that's what the judge has to determine.
And I've heard you use a term, and if I have this right, it was eligible but not entitled. And is that sort of what you're saying here in terms of the overall interests of the public as opposed to just what the petitioner might want?
Right, 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 exactly. There's still a judge here involved, and there's still discretion, and there's still a judge desiring to protect the public. So most expungements are not automatic. They are discretionary. Some are easier than others, but it's not a matter of right. There is a review process, and the judge has discretion. So I think it's incumbent upon the petitioner to be prepared for those hearings and to put their best foot forward. You want to make sure the judge is ensured that you will not be back in another court of law ever again.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to put the positive aspects out there. So ideally, we have a petitioner trying to improve their life. They're trying to go to school or improve their employment. So you focus on the things they've done well, right? Since the arrest, this person has gotten this degree, achieved this training, has done X, Y, Z, and he will be a productive member of society. So, Judge, we're asking you to lift this, to grant this petition, so this petitioner has more employable prospects or whatever. That's what we're trying to get the judge to feel free that this petitioner will not be violating the law in the future.
And I've got about 30 seconds before I let you go, but I don't want to swarm you with calls, but we always mention 847-705-7555 or lavellelaw.com. But you mentioned earlier, so many cases out there, people need to be aware now if this involves them. Should people be reaching out to an attorney to help them make sure things are getting done, or, as you said, to maybe just accelerate it and do their own petition? Is there any good steps for someone who might be in this situation right now?
I tell you, I would be happy to discuss any of this with somebody, because there's so many ins and outs in expungement law and these new statutes. Everybody's case is different, and I'd be happy to talk to anybody about what is my best option for getting this removed from my record if possible.
Excellent. James Doerr, as always, thank you for being with us. We enjoy these conversations on Liberty and the Law. And hit LavelleLaw.com for any of our past conversations. We'll talk to you again soon.